episode 204 of
Brutal Battle.
So, it's been a while since we had Nathan on.
Has been a very long time. I think we were still doing Hop Knowledge when I was on last.
You might be right about that. So that would say it has been a while. But we traveled up to Pennsylvania. We ate some tasty Golden Krust pizza, which people who've been listening to this podcast for a while know that we've talked about Golden Krust a decent amount. Love that place. Very good pizza. So we got that filling our tummies, so it's time to drink beers then. Have you been up to anything since you were last on here, beer-wise? Anything?
No, I've actually been kind of low-key on the beer scene. I've been working through all the stuff I have in the basement. So I really haven't been getting too much stuff other than the Springhouse Barrel Club.
Yeah, we've been doing the same thing. I'm sure people hear it enough on the podcast that we've been trying to work through what's down in the cellar, because buying new beers, usually not a good idea, unless you have a gift card.
Yeah.
Like, we had a gift card for Golden Krust, so I picked up some what should be tasty beers from that place when we were there for pizza, so. Awesome. Speaking of beers, we have some warm-up beers. Two warm-up beers for this episode, and they are from a listener of the podcast, a man by the name of Morgan Abbott. So, thank you very much, Morgan. And he actually brought these back from a vacation to Europe that he and his wife went on. And they are French beers, which I can say, to the best of my knowledge, I've never had any French beer.
No.
I've had French Canadian beer, I believe, but that's about as far as it goes. Like, Du Desil, I think, is a French Canadian brewery.
I've had that. And then even as far as foreign beer, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess London Porter or something like that would be
from England.
That'd probably about the extent of my.
Well, technically, like, beers. Mikkeller, I think, is from Denmark.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah. And Evil Twin, I guess, is semi-foreign.
Yeah.
The brewer's at least foreign.
Also Denmark, and then Brewdog from Scotland. So
yeah.
When you think about it, you've had a few. And Omnipollo. I know you've had Omnipollo stuff, which I think is also Denmark. Yeah, pretty sure. Anyway, let's get into the first of these French beers. I'm going to butcher the names, most likely, so we'll see. Tree Martelaud is what I'm going to say is the brewery. It's a Brasserie Tree Martelaud. And this is their Beer Rousse, 5.3% alcohol by volume. And I looked these up ahead of time to find out what the styles should end up being. And this should be some sort of amber ale. So pretty basic, but it'll give us a good reference point for the brewery itself, since that's a pretty, you know, normal style.
I also enjoy that it's 33 centiliters.
Yeah, metric system, right? Just give you a little bit to start since we're going to do two of them. And it looks like an amber ale. It's like orangey, pretty clear.
It's got a little bit of a head, big bubbles on it.
Yeah, it's it kind of, honestly, just in the glass, it kind of looks like it could be like a pale ale, IPA, something like that. But yeah, see what it smells like. Some citrus, like light citrus. A slight orange, maybe a little bit of orange peel, some hay. There's something else.
I get mostly the hay.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of
the citrus. But overall, kind of just the standard amber color. Not color, but nose.
Yeah, it's a pretty light smell. Definitely a decent amount of maltiness coming through in the nose. A little bit of like a sweetness. Almost like a light golden raisin, but not like raisin in the sense of like high alcohol gives you raisiny smells. It's more of like a light golden raisin type sugary smell. Interesting. Try it. Relatively neutral.
Yeah. Kind of bland. Doesn't really get any of that citrus flavor coming through that you smell.
I don't really taste citrus to it like I was getting in the nose. I get a lot of just like malty sweetness to it. with, you know, that hay that we were talking about getting. And here come cats. Well, one cat. As long as you don't drink my beer, do what you want. So, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of more of like a, I could easily drink this with food type beer. I don't know if I would really be wanting to have it on my own, or on its own as like a dessert, which is how I like to have a lot of my beers. So, more with food, pair it with something good.
Yeah, I agree with that. It doesn't have quite enough flavor to stand on its own, but I think it would pair well with your food, kind of complementing the food's flavors and everything.
And it, it plays like a amber ale. You know, there's just a lot of malty sweetness to it, and, you know, not a whole lot else going on.
We did not get a pitcher of water to kind of rinse our glasses out.
So I'm gonna do one of my tricks. I'm just going to put some water in my mouth, spit it in the glass. When people see it, kind of gross. Maybe if you hear it, kind of gross, but whatever. All right, the next one is by Brasserie en Alarc. I don't know. I'll just spell this one. Brasserie A-N, and then the next word is A-L-A-R-C, apostrophe H. En Alarc, I guess. It's hard to say. These pronunciations are killing me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's 5.6% alcohol. Is that the same? Oh, no, the other one's 5.3. And it's called Malaz Rouge. And it's Beer Gorlaz Menez. I'm not even going to read all that. It's basically, when I looked it up, it's supposed to be like a Belgian-style dark ale.
And it looks like it can stand the test of time. It says to have it before 8/3/2019. So, I mean, it's good for about a year.
So we're going to do that. Pouring even more head than I thought it would, honestly.
Yeah.
So the carbonation level may be a little high on this beer.
Similar in color to the first one, a little more, I guess, deep in color.
Yeah, a little more dark orange, almost a tinge of brown thrown in with the orange. It's got a decent head to it, but the head actually looks uneven, which is typically what I'll get from a beer that has Brettanomyces in it. I don't think this is supposed to have Brett in it, but who knows? Let's smell it. Ooh. Yeah. Smells like candied.
Yeah. That's I was just going to say it has a sweetness about it.
I will say for being supposed to be a Belgian-style dark ale, I don't think I smell anything that smells distinctly like Belgian yeast. Because I'm mainly just getting, like, that candied
kind of
sugar.
The banana runts is what I kind of get.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. That sugariness coming together with a little bit of banana, which is probably coming from that Belgian yeast, I would assume. I do, actually, with this one, I also get a little bit of a raisin smell to it, but it's closer to a regular raisin, not like a golden raisin. And it's sweet. It smells like really sweet. Kind of like, you know, raisins are very sweet and sugary. Got a lot of that. Almost a little bit of caramel on the nose, too, to go with that kind of, like, candy. Oh, okay. The sweetness is a lot less than I thought it was going to be in the flavor, which I kind of think is a good thing for me. But it's actually tasting a little similar to that amber.
It does taste a little bit similar. I get a little bit of like the like ethanol fumes.
Yeah, it's coming off a tad bit astringent, which is kind of weird for a 5.6% beer. Don't like that.
Yeah, that I feel like the kind of that candy presence is prevalent in the taste.
Yeah, it's there. It's dialed back more than I thought it would be based off the smell. But that's probably the best part of it. It's just like a sugar candy, like rock candy. Light smell. Decent. Not bad, not great. I am very thankful to Morgan for giving me these beers because now I can say I've had beers from France and it's just
that's always exciting to try.
Yeah, it's just
different
cool.
And foreign things.
It's cool to have new things, but I don't think they're beers I would go out of my way for, honestly, just because low flavor.
Yeah, I wonder how they these are kind of in France, because I know the beer is very different, you know, in Europe and England. So I wonder, you know, how these kind of rate as far as, you know, like a standard French beer.
Yeah, is this like the norm for the French craft beer community, or is this, you know, like at the lower end, at the higher end? Really hard to know, honestly. But all right, so there are cats in the room, Malkin and Kona, two cats who live with Nathan and Erica, and that means it's perfect to talk about something having to do with them. There's a program in the Baltimore area that started up to place cats with jobs, and there are cats who have been placed with beer jobs, also jobs for spirit companies and stuff like that. So it's through a organization called Barks, which is Baltimore Animal Rescue and Care Shelter, Incorporated, and they have had issues with placing some of their animals with their cats. Sometimes, you know, they have behavioral issues, which, you know, obviously that's not exclusive to cats, but in this instance, they figured out that there's another alternative to getting, like, a regular person who wants to give a cat a home to get them adopted out. And that was they started deciding to place these cats with jobs, so to speak. And there are they started doing it with farms, warehouses, nurseries, not nurseries, you know, like babies' nurseries, but like plant nurseries, and a few other commercial settings. And then they ended up hitting breweries and distilleries and stuff like that. So most people who know much about cats will be able to figure out pretty quickly, duh, they will kill mice.
Yeah.
So that is kind of the selling point for them, is allow these cats to just hang out in the brewery, stalk mice and kill them at night, and then they'll most likely just not even really interact with people during the day because they'll be sleeping. So have you experienced any breweries doing this?
Because
I know it's not just a Baltimore area thing.
Trying to think about breweries, I can't recall any breweries, but when Erica and I were in San Francisco for like a anniversary trip, the one winery we went to had a couple winery cats lounging around. And then I know I've seen like videos on, I think it's like either like a museum or library in Russia that has like, you know, an insane number of cats that they keep. They kind of hang out in the basement during the day, and then at night after all the people go, they let them up into the actual library to keep, you know, the mice and rodents away from eating the books or artifacts. I don't remember if it's a library or a museum. Yeah.
So obviously this is nothing like new. It's just something that's finally made its way to craft beer.
And I mean, I think it's great considering there is a, you know, a problem with animals getting stuck in shelters and not being adopted, and a lot of times they are euthanized. So, I mean, if there is a business that's willing to, you know, have a cat in the, you know, in their shop to, you know, give it a purpose and not let it die, I think it's great to, you know, and kind of, you know, a free pest control if you
want
to do it that way.
Well, and if you also think of it, how many times have you gone to breweries and you see that they have mouse traps outside and inside in areas, because that's obviously going to grain, having all that grain there is going to draw these mice in, because they can just chew through the bags and eat that stuff. So it's a legitimate issue. So to have something like a cat to just go ahead and take care of that. Plus, it's in their nature. They love that stuff. Like, you know, my cat, when she killed some mice in our house a few years ago, the best day of her life, you could tell. Like, her mood was insane. She loved it. So they're doing them a favor, not just by placing them in a place where they're not going to be euthanized, but also, like, they enjoy that stuff. But I think the first brewery I ever knew of that was doing cats in the brewery was Off Color. Or wait, no, I'm sorry. I think Off Color does it, but I misspoke. Pipeworks. Pipeworks Brewing out of Chicago, I knew they were doing that. And they had two cats. I think they still have these two cats. They ended up with them because when they started building their brewery, they found the two cats as kittens trapped in the walls.
Interesting.
Yeah, when they were building, because I guess the mom had gotten in there and had a nest, and so they heard them yelling, so they had to do a whole, like, open the wall and rescue the cats thing, and they just decided to keep them. And actually, they had their staff took rotations feeding the cats with like milk from eyedroppers because they were so young, because they were kittens, they were young. And they've lived there ever since. So true born and raised brewery cats right there. And then the other ones I've known about, Duclaw Brewing in Rosedale, but really like Baltimore. They've had four cats that got a few years ago. And I kind of asked them a little bit about the cat situation, and they said that the cats actually will go up and hang out in the offices during the day. A lot of times just like sleep on people's desks or like sleep on people's laps. They're pretty like people friendly, so they like to get pets. And then at night they go down into the brewery and they run around and catch mice. So honestly, they're not, in that instance, they're not really just serving the purpose of killing mice, but they're also serving a purpose of like, increasing morale and happiness of employees. I mean, as long as you're not allergic.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Just hate
I wonder
cats.
If that's like a thing that needs to be disclosed, if they're hiring somebody new, like, so we have cats. Is that going to be a problem for
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I mean, I would think you'd have to because of, allergies, I know there are plenty of people who have allergies. Yeah. So, but in a place that large, like a brewery.
You can avoid cats pretty easily.
Yeah. You know, I would think you just keep your office door closed in that situation and the cat's not going to end up coming in. So should probably be fine, but they got plenty of places to be. So yeah. Do you feel like you have anything else you want to say about this beer cat program?
I think it's a great idea. I feel like if I was to start a brewery, I'd have cats. I'd have cats in my place.
I think the thought of killing mice would be like the second or third or even fourth thing I think about regarding that. The first thing I would think is I just really like cats and I would just like to have them around at the brewery. So, yeah, I'd be the same way. I'd totally get beer cats and, yeah, it would be awesome. So, yeah. But Bark's doing a good job. And I think more breweries and distilleries and wineries and all other types of commercial companies that can use that help should look into it and employ some cats. Give these cats gerbs.
Yes.
Be awesome. Anyway, that will take us to the mystery beers.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I feel like we're moving at a pretty good pace, but we're going to do a few episodes and then we're going to play Cards Against Humanity. So, gotta love that. Finish up the beers and play some Cards Against Humanity. Can't go wrong on that. So the first beer in front of us looks kind of like a Saison to me.
It's very clear, kind of maybe a little bit lighter than apple juice, but you know, along that.
Yeah, it's like super like straw yellow.
Almost like a cider.
Yeah, actually it does look very much like a cider. There's a little bit of a haziness to it, but you can still see through it.
Yeah.
Doesn't really look like you see like floating stuff or anything like that. It's
no carbonation, even like when you give it a little bit of a twirl, like there's just a little bit of bubbles.
Yeah, you just see like stray bubbles coming up from the side here and there. But yeah, carbonation low, but it looks totally like a farmhouse. Oh, it kind of smells like that.
Yep, it's got that
kind of like coriander smell.
Yep.
Oh yeah, a little funky too. Am I right? Like, there's a little bit of, like, tartness that it smells like on the nose. Some lemon. A little bit of lemon peel. Little bit of a medicinal note that I can typically smell with, like, sometimes Belgian yeast, but a lot of times, like, your typical Saison yeast.
I don't want to really say this, but I get kind of like a sewage smell coming from there.
In what sense is it a sewage smell?
Kind of like, when you're at an event and you have all the porta potties and like the truck comes by to clean it up, you get that waft in the air of.
So is it kind of like the blue chemical in the toilet type smell? I guess I could see where you're getting that, but I would not have thought of it. I also get a tad bit of a hay note on the end, but it's very, very slight. So, when I say I was smelling, like, a little bit of tartness, there very well might not be any tartness or sourness to it, and I might just really be smelling that lemony note in a stronger way. So, I'm going to try it. Tastes a tad bit funky.
Have a little bit of a funk about it. Surprisingly, for the no carbonation, it has bubbles that's kind of fizzy in your mouth.
Yeah, there's a slight effervescent quality when it's sitting on your tongue. You can feel bubbles actually forming on your tongue. It's pretty easy. I definitely get that kind of like lemony flavor to it. I don't think it's really like tart or sour.
No, I get that. A lot of times when there's, I feel like when there's a lot of lemon in a beer, I kind of get like a soapy taste in my mouth.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what I get from this. It's pretty clean overall, as far as the
I would agree with that
palate.
I get some of that hay coming in. I get a little bit of that kind of like coriander type flavor to it. The lemon, it's got a little bit of like a cereal finish to it.
A little bit, yes. That sewage smell doesn't come through on the taste, so that's good news.
Yeah, no, that is good news. Very good news. This is pretty easy. I don't dislike that beer. I don't love that beer. It's like, it's a decent beer.
This is not my style, but I just don't really care for the, like the farmhouse style, if that's what it is. But it's not off-putting. It's, no. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, the flavors aren't, you know, pound you in the face. So even if you're not huge into that style, it's not going to be, like, offensive to you.
It's a very, clean, easy-to-drink, beer.
Yeah, I agree. Also, kind of like we were talking about with the warm-up beers, could be pretty good for food.
Yes.
You just have it with a little bit of whatever you want. So let's go to B. It looks like a rosé.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
This one is definitely hazy. Can't see much. You can see shapes through it, but you can't see what those shapes would actually be. But it's real like pink, like a pinkish, orangish coloration. I'm assuming this is gonna be a sour because I don't know many.
Again, no. Same thing as far as bubbles and carbonation as the. As A.
Smell that and tell me what you smell.
Well, that would be a prototypical sour in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely smells sour. I smell like tart cherries coming off there. Almost, maybe a little bit of cranberry in there as well.
I was going to say raspberry.
Okay. It smells like a mix of like darker fruits like cranberry, raspberry, cherry. There's definitely a really strong kind of sour kick in the nose that comes off like super lemony, which makes it smell like it's not going to be tart, but like sour, like straight up sour, most likely. Yeah.
Smells like I'm going to like it.
Yeah, me too. Softer than I thought it was going to be.
It has that fizz, just like the first one, so very similar in carbonation profiles.
So, you get that lemony sourness right up front, as happens a lot with sour beers. And then, I feel like I get a little bit of kind of like a flowery note on there. Like, it's a little perfumey.
I get a little bit of that. I get, I don't think it's the cherry. It's that kind of like mixed, berry, that kind of raspberry, cranberry flavor. It also gets my salivary glands going. I can feel those guys activating. So it does have
definitely
a bit of a tart punch to it.
So the bitterness mixed with that kind of like mixed berry flavor you were just talking about, the mix of those two things together kind of reminds me of like grape must.
Yeah.
So like when you have like the sticks, some of the sticks in there, and then like the actual like tannic skins just kind of left over, like if you threw that into a beer, it's kind of what it reminds me of a little bit. I feel like I start to get a tad bit of an apple note. Very, very slight. And I don't know, I feel like cranberry in there. I do feel like cranberry. I don't think, most likely there are cranberries in here. I don't know that many beers that actually have cranberries, but it's coming off a little cranberry to me. But yeah, it's like mixed darker fruits, like on the nose.
I like it.
It's solid. Once again, even though there's a decent sourness to this, your palate gets used to it after a few sips, and then that really calms down, and it's then kind of soft. It's kind of a little more delicate with not a crazy amount of stuff going on, and the flavors aren't like super offensive or anything. So Wow. Wow. I went back to A, and after having B, I feel like it rounds A out more, and like,
oh, yeah,
the hay notes are gone, that that kind of little medicinal note from the yeast is gone.
I prefer A much better going back to it after
oh, yeah. B. It increases a little bit of a lemon flavor to it. It gives it more of that, yeah, kind of coriander.
Kind of takes, wow, a little bit of funk out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Well, good job, B, boosting yeah, A. That's nice.
Hey, you guys.
Cat playing / fighting, if you heard the yelling in the background. Going at it. Cat wrestling. I could drink beers and watch cat wrestling all day.
Yeah.
That's fun. Okay, so anyway, got to think about what to rate these beers. I think I know what I want to do with both of these. Do you know?
I think I have a good ballpark. Hey, guys.
All the fight's getting broken up. Got a little too much. All right, so I'll go ahead and go first. I think I'm going to give a 3 to both of them. I respect them on the same level, and they're both decent beers, in my opinion. So I'm going 3 on both of them.
I was definitely doing 3 on A.
Okay.
I was considering giving B a 4 just, sure, because I do like it better than, sure, A, but it's hard to say if it's like a whole notch above. So I think I'll give it a 4.
Sure.
Because that'll kind of balance out with you, and it'll give it, you know, that, give little, it that slight, little slight extra notch above and give it the win over.
That makes sense. So not too bad. Overall 3 for A and overall 3.5 for B. So go ahead and reveal A first, the loser of the episode, but not, well, barely.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. This is by Flying Dog Brewing. It's one of their brew house rarities. It's called Mimosa Beer. It's ale brewed with orange peel. Well, we were smelling that citrus, yeah, on it. I don't think we were tasting it a whole lot, though. Okay. Mimosa Beer. It's kind of weird. What? ABV is 5.2%.
It makes a little bit of sense with it. It kind of had a little bit of acidic to it, and it did have that fizz, like, you know, when you have the mimosa going. So I mean, it was lacking the. You can deduce it knowing that and going back and seeing it, but
yeah,
as far as the blind taste, we would have. We didn't, at no point, yeah, indicated it was like a mimosa.
Yeah, so it kind of seems like a very, very, very dialed back version of a mimosa. And I kind of think that most people who would buy this, who are looking for a flavor like a mimosa, would probably be
disappointed.
Yeah, be pretty let down by it. It tastes more to me just like a farmhouse ale, like we were, yeah, talking about. Like, but it's solid. It's, yeah, a solid beer. It's, yeah, just.
I can stretch my imagination, yeah, to a mimosa, but that's not a very good representation.
Just makes me feel like the marketing's off,
yeah,
for what it is, you know. All right, that was fine. So the winner overall, 3.5, beer B is. Oh, okay. I've not seen this before. This is by Epic Brewing, and that's Epic Brewing out of Denver, Colorado. It's 8.5% alcohol by volume, and it's their Oak and Orchard beer. It's a sour ale aged in oak barrels with fruit. And the fruits, there's like a tag around it that says what the fruit are. Blueberry, boysenberry, blackcurrant.
Interesting.
We did not pick
way
out.
Way uh-huh. Yeah. We went all red, those are.
Yeah. We picked out, well, what's boysenberry? None of them.
Is that like a, what color is boysenberry?
Yeah, dark like that. It's like darker than like what this color is. So I think the blueberries lightening it up, but yeah. So we didn't pick out any of those fruits, but we were right in mixed berry. So, and they're darker berries.
Counted as a win.
But I will say, remember I was saying something about like grape must?
Yes.
There, that makes sense because this one was aged in Syrah barrels.
Oh.
So red wine barrels. So that's where that kind of grape must is coming from. So I feel good that I got that right. I totally screwed up on the fruit call, but. That makes me feel a little bit better about what's going on. So, overall, they're decent. Not,
yeah,
bad. I'm good with those mystery beers. And hopefully the beers for the next one are going to be even better.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if we're going to continue to sip on these two French beers for the next episode because Nathan mentioned to me a beer he wanted to do as a warm-up, and I want to pass these beers on to the ladies upstairs because I think they need to try them as well. So stick around to see what we have next episode.
Tune in next week.
I'm excited about the warm-up beer, just as a little teaser to everyone.
Yes.
But anyway, until next time.
What do we say?
Keep it brutal.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.